Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello and welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life, answering your 21st century questions and finding solutions to those everyday dilemmas, like how do I pay homage to my...
Homage.
What?
Homage.
Is it homage?
Well, you can... Yes, but homage in this instance.
I was on a roll then. Like, how do I pay homage to my favourite children's cartoon bad boy?
Okay.
Oh, so there was a lot about for both of us last week about what we were wearing.
Yes. So I was wearing, for those that missed the socials or don't look at them, I was wearing a sort of a light blue and yellow striped jumper with a lovely little turned down collar. And apparently I looked like Horrid Henry.
Yes.
Which was children's cartoon and series of books.
You did. And loads of people commenting about you looking like Horrid Henry. And that jacket I was wearing last week.
Yes. Whew.
Now we're getting some thirsty DMs.
Yeah.
So basically, because we did two episodes at the same time, we recorded on the same day, which we don't usually do, but every now and then we have to. I didn't have a change of outfit, so I borrowed Adam who wanks a lot's jacket.
I don't think you should be saying this when he was so generous to provide you with his jacket.
And he let it covered in dry. Yogurt was, weren't it, Adam? Yogurt. So, no, that's tight, because he let me borrow his jacket.
Mm.
And I was getting some thirsty DMs.
Yes.
And I said to Adam on the way in today, I was like, mate, you should be my stylist.
Yeah.
I know, be more like Adam. Yes. Four wanks today.
I think.
Right, let's move on.
Right.
How do I pay homage to my favourite children's cartoon bad boy? Will my colleagues still like me after leaving for 3 months? And what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? But we're not usual agony ants, are we? William Hanson, the UK's leading etiquette expert and viral TikToker.
No, we're not Jordan North radio presenter. I'm more upper crust, you're more cut off my crusts. I love it. And that's from Gina Humphries.
I used to get my crust cut off.
Do you like it cut or uncut?
Now, I prefer it uncut.
Yeah.
Because it gives, that's why I've got curly hair, because it used to be crust.
Right, that's not a thing.
It is.
No,
and
it's not a thing.
It's why my vision's great, so I always eat my carrots. It is. What's the other one?
Something to put hairs on your chest, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's it. There was another
spinach.
One. No, not spinach.
What, spinach and mussels? What, with Popeye?
I can't remember. But anyway, and you definitely, you should see me when I've had pineapple. Right,
right, let's do, I need a drink.
Honestly.
Could you unwrap
everyone the D? Everyone wants a drop.
Talking of which, unwrap the D.
Okay.
I will, we've got two toasts to make this
week. I'm going to do it like this, because look, it's a lot easier, and people get mad at me for doing this. Top tip when you've got wine bottles, champagne and stuff.
With foil around it.
With foil around it, and it's hard to get off, and everyone's always messing about with it. Just.
Oh my God.
Do that.
That was like magic.
Just do that.
Like what that. Did you do?
Just take it off. Everyone pisses about with you and cuts it off. Just pull it off. Oh.
Oh. Nice.
Okay.
Oh, well done you. Oh,
thank you.
I've learned something.
Yeah.
Two toasts to make. Let me just pour.
Jesus.
Well,
tough week.
Two parts.
Tell Mike he's working from home. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
Would you pass me the stopper?
I'm right on.
No comment.
Hit a nerve there.
Anyway.
How is married life?
Yes, it's lovely. Thank you very much. So the first toast is to our very own off-camera Ollie and his now wife, Em, who tied the knot last week. Congratulations.
Congrats, Ollie, who works on the team, Ollie.
Mm.
Well, the thing is, Em, I do. I do. He's the nicest lad. I always take the piss out of everyone. Sorry, Adam, but he's so lovely. And he had a little joke at me about being on the buses. Remember, we went back at taxi the other week. He came up and apologised and went,
I know, he's lovely.
Sorry if I went too far earlier today. I didn't mean any offence. I was like, you're not offending me, daft sir. These lovely lads.
He is lovely.
So congrats, Ollie.
They're going to be very happy.
Oh, those vows will take hours, won't they?
The second toast is for G and Diva Harry, who joined us in Benidorm, of course, gave us the shirt that's just behind you. And he said he felt bad for not getting Jordan a gift too, so he sent him some coffee.
Oh, yes. And we've just seen it before. Thank you. And it's really strong coffee.
Yes.
It's like Northern coffee, I think it's called.
Okay. Harry.
So cheers, Harry. Right. So, any more pressing matters?
I don't know. Should we just go on to the listeners' responses?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Is
it my etiquette tomorrow? I feel they're saying we should be doing
it. Oh, is it my joke of the week this week?
No, it's
not. Oh, but I've been sent a cracker.
Well, you can do. I don't mind.
I can save it for next week.
Yeah?
It's a cracker.
Save it for next week.
Okay, right.
Because you do normally struggle.
Okay. It's so good.
Okay. Right. Well, talking of things that are so good, there's an old face back in our studio today.
He left us for the sunny shores of South America so he could find himself. And now he's back to tell us if he was successful. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please welcome Producer Ben! Yes! Oh! Yay! Right, pal. Right, yeah. No joking. Come here and get a cuddle, you big... How have you not put on any weight? You'll be that bloody plug hole next.
You are allowed to speak. Would you like a gin and a bonnet?
Hi, guys.
Yay!
A microphone. What an honour.
Yes, don't get used to it.
Oh, you're back. Have you got two earrings now?
Just the one.
Is that the same one from last time?
Actually, it is the same one as last time.
Why is it on that side?
And I think you introduced me as Producer Ben, but I think it's Director Ben, isn't it?
Oh, God, is he gone up?
Oh, no, because he's credited as a director of the cinema thing.
After doing absolutely zero work.
He's director.
Christ. So many things to tell you. About us, but I suppose we should ask you, how was your trip? How was it?
It was the most amazing few months. I mean, it's,
Ben, you have to speak into the microphone.
It's been branded as 3 months, but I was actually away for 4 months. I didn't work a single day for 4 months.
Oh, so. God.
Well, it's like Jordan.
Yeah. After I extended.
It's like Jordan during COVID.
Yeah, that was, to be fair.
Fair, but no, we had a lovely time. But I'm actually very happy to be back, obviously. And
oh, you sound ecstatic. You can hear it in your
voice.
You were
being nice to me earlier.
we're going to ask you your best bits, worst bits. First thing, most important question, how's Diego?
Diego is wonderful. Yep. He's currently with Kat.
Did he go mad when he seen you, or did he forget what you look like?
I think he forgot what we look like.
No.
I am forgettable.
The bastards, Joe. Do you think I was running up and giving him a little rap on the lap? I couldn't be arsed with him. I told him, piss off. Did you bring him a gift bag?
We didn't.
Oh. No wonder he's indifferent to see you. You're looking, doesn't he look healthily tanned?
Yeah, you do.
Not in a sort of a, I've just had a week in the sun way that most of us in Britain sort of get if we just have a week's holiday, but just like, you've obviously been in the sun.
I've been in the sun and
a decent amount of
weirdly,
time.
Weirdly, I'm not wearing any makeup today, but weirdly, you're still more orange than me.
Now, we want to get into the ins and outs, but we just need to keep you updated. So if I say three words to you, I just need to get your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sprinkle, sparkle, spunk.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
I know what that is.
That's not the nicknames for Jordan, me and Adam.
I saw some of the video clips, obviously, on Instagram. I think in one of the episodes you did say that I was listening along, which isn't true. What I've been doing is listening back over the last few days, and it's great. What you can do on Spotify is listen at 1.3 times. So I've just been speeding through and actually just listening there at the start.
It's what people are doing now, Ben.
So slowly, just like speed it up a bit.
Okay. What was the best bit of your trip? Worst bit?
I mean, there are so many best bits and there are a couple of worst bits. I feel like I've got different stories.
Did you have a threesome?
My lips are sealed.
They are now.
They are now.
Good on you. Fair play.
Best.
Good.
Did you have any arguments?
We had some disagreements. Yeah, I think naturally.
And they're being rebranded as disagreements.
I think
they?
So.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting bollocked by a cat in the middle of Peru?
I can.
We've changed the logo since you were away.
We've been busy.
You're being very mysterious, but we've lost though. We've moved studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I did visit this before it became sectored.
I've got a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently your face is everywhere. Horrifying people around the nation.
On buses and yeah. Yeah, what else is new?
Honestly, everyone I've seen since arriving home is like, oh yeah, Jordan's on every single bus everywhere, isn't
Although it? You said
For
earlier.
For God's sake. I still haven't seen one. So as soon as I do it, I'll get a selfie.
Okay. Oh, my dog's dead as well.
Yeah, saw that. Sorry.
Don't laugh.
My mum tried to put me in freezer.
I heard about that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Did she have enough space?
No, not in the end.
With all those turkey twizzlers in there.
She did say to me a couple of weeks later, she went, we would have put them in, but I'd done a big shop the week before.
Like, there's never enough space in a freezer.
No, there isn't.
Well, there probably is in yours, but not in mine.
There isn't, yeah.
But one thing I learned, I don't know if you saw, but I ended up spending a lot of time with some other people on the trip, most of which were a lot younger than me. So I turned 30, obviously, came to my birthday party before I went away.
For 45 minutes.
And they taught me a lot of things about sort of myself and, like, as you say, like finding myself and things like that. And one of the things they taught me, I don't know if you guys are aware, but the 0.5 lens on your phone. They're on like iPhones on Android where you go 0.5.
Yeah.
Are you aware of a 0.5 selfie?
What, where you press the button to zoom out?
Yeah, you press the button to zoom out, then you point at yourself or you don't look at yourself on the screen. It changes your selfie game forever. Trust me.
Oh my God, who is this guy? It changes your selfie game. Oh, he's literally going to be saying like,
he's taking the mickey, but you're interested and I can tell.
He's literally going to be saying, I'm low-key excited. Oh my God, that gave me the ick.
Yeah.
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 And wow.
Yeah,
there was
a lot of Gen Zers.
Did any of them at any point call you daddy?
that was mentioned a few times. Yeah, I was in the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires, for those that need to know.
Yeah. Did you have steak?
We had a Airbnb with seven women and me, so there we go.
Did you?
And I did have a lot of steak. And on that, actually, I should update you, Kat and I, we're now vegetarian.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, I thought that's what you'd say.
Oh, how come you're vegetarian?
You've just been to Argentina.
No.
Well, yeah, I had my fair share. I decided that much meat was enough for me.
What they can't do with a cow ain't worth knowing.
Exactly. I've given it up.
It's like the Spanish with a potato. That's what my dad always says. What the Spanish can't do with a potato ain't worth knowing.
Well, actually, on potatoes, sorry to break away from producer Ben, my etymology today is all about potatoes.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, great.
How topical.
We'll be doing that soon. Sorry, take this back a second. You shared a room with seven women.
I didn't share a room. I shared an apartment. We went to see Sam Smith at Lollapalooza.
Sam Smith was in Argentina?
Yeah.
Was it like a tribute act, like when you go Benidorm?
No, it was... Well, I believe... I was quite far away.
Oh, wow. You sound like some kind of martyr. Like seven virgins around you, you know?
I felt like that.
Do you feel like you've genuinely, like, found yourself? Do you feel better for it? Would you recommend it?
Oh, yeah. I feel like so... I feel just so lucky to have been able to do it. Obviously, being away from work, being away from the family, from the dog, everyone who looked after Diego.
Everyone.
The team of professionals that you had to look after him.
Why didn't you take him with you?
No, because in some of those countries, they eat dog.
Do they?
They do.
There was a lot of stray dogs as well. I don't think he would have got on very well with them.
I've got to ask, though, did you get the squits at any point? Why is that the only thing I want to know when someone's been travelling? So what's up with it?
It's all bottoms with you, isn't it?
There were a couple of moments. The thing is, in Peru and Bolivia, in high altitude places, it can mess with your belly. We arrived in this city called Cusco that's really high. Beautiful place, like very Incan sort of like history going on, and we just got absolutely leathered on the Friday night. Like, Kat was on the bar getting shots poured down her mouth with a random Peruvian woman who still follows her on Instagram. The next morning, Kat was just like, she didn't get out of bed till 2 o'clock. I went to get our laundry because you have to like go to a laundrette and get your clothes done. So I was like, right, Kat, you're in bed. It's midday. I'm going to go out and get our clothes.
Did they have a Peruvian version of Doc Cotton in the laundrette?
Actually, an extremely friendly man served me at that point. But what happened on the walk over to pick up my clothes, I thought it was a fart. So it was a slight... There was a slight bit.
Do we need to know this?
He asked.
Yes, doesn't mean you have to tell him.
And then, I pick up her clothes, sort of like maybe like slightly waddling, like right, I need to need to get back to the room. And then I get back to the room. Kat's fucking head's in the toilet, throwing up.
You didn't shit.
I'm like, I need to get on the toilet.
You didn't shit on her, did you?
I said, Kat, I've got a bit of a situation myself, so you are going to need to move over.
That's why. Right. Hear me out. Traveling. Looks glamorous and fun, but I bet that it's quite tough at times, isn't
it? I've never been more dirty in my life than that. We were doing buses that were over 24 hours long. Oh. It's a massive place. Like, the UK is just...
Oh, it's tiny, isn't
tiny.
It?
Tiny.
Yeah.
So I had this 24-hour, I think it was like 26 hours in the end, multiple buses, finished with a boat, then a taxi. I've never stunk so much. And the thing is with Kat is that she doesn't hide it. So I'm just sat there on the bus. She's been able to have a shower in the station, taken like an hour. I'm like, well, I've got no time now. The bus is bloody leaving. And she's there like, yeah, okay, can I just get on the bus, please?
Because you smelt that bad.
Because I smelt that bad.
Oh, that's...
So if you were doing it, I don't know what the smells would
be
like.
I would.
Well, it says here, we're very happy to have you back. Mm. So that's marvellous. We have a little surprise for you. We have asked our lovely listeners to send in their kind words to welcome you back. Let's have a listen.
Welcome back, Ben.
And there we go.
I mean, you literally did that joke when I left.
Who's that from?
So it's just one of the listeners. You
honestly,
can tell how
they say when you go away for such an extended period of time, it'll feel like so much has changed, but also nothing has changed. And I honestly feel that.
Well, Ben, delighted to have you back.
Delighted to be back.
Have you showered today? Right, thank you, Ben.
Goodbye.
Thank you. We're going to, for a lot of Gene Deaver's asking, we are going to, you can hear him laugh and stuff.
Hopefully.
Oh. Okay.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How was your week?
Yes, it's very good, thank you. I've been to Paris.
You get away. So, I've never been to Paris.
Have you not?
No.
You'd love it.
What were you doing? Oh, you were there with Mikey,
weren't
you?
It's Mikey's birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's more birthdays than the bloody Queen.
No, he doesn't. He has one a year.
When was his birthday?
18th of April. One of Mikey's favourite places is Paris. I mean, I love Paris as well. So we went back and did lots of sort of very, very butch things. We went to Disney, which was lovely. Disney Paris, to be fair. Mikey and I last went to Disney Paris as friends in 2015. And the park has got even better since then, to be fair, due to all sorts of politics with the French government, but it's much better now. And we had a great time.
Why don't you go to Louvre? What's it called?
Louvre?
The Louvre.
Well, I've done the Louvre. But we did others.
We're
also
very
did
cultured.
Sort of the next day, we did the Rodin Museum. So, okay. You know, yin and yang.
Is Paris, like, you know, when people say, oh, I don't drink Guinness, but I do when I'm in Dublin. Mm. Is Paris, like, the croissants next level?
Mm.
Or is it just, like, the one you can get in prep?
No, they are a bit better.
Are they actually?
Yes. The only downside to Disney, because there are two parks and we did both of them in a day, we did 26,000 steps in a day. And because I've got slightly funny feet, what is known as equinus gait, which is...
Even that sounds gay. Even your feet are gay.
It's the chiropodist's terminology for walks like a horse, is equinus gait. I now have Disney tendon. And genuinely, on the Sunday, so at Disney on the Saturday, I was hobbling around Bon Marché.
It's why you see on TikTok lots of people in knee braces and stuff around Disney. It's a thing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, because you walk a lot. You walk from place to place. I mean, it's great for exercise, but with my funny feet, genuinely, I could not walk. So I was just on a chaise lounge doing the edits to my upcoming book. That's basically how I spent most of Paris after Disney.
I couldn't think of, like, I love theme parks, but couldn't think of Old Western going away and going around theme parks. Knackering. You want to chill?
No, it's quite chill.
Did you go on any rides?
Yes, did them all. Mad about the Big Dipper.
What else have they got out there?
Teacups, Peter Pan's Flight, Avengers Flight Force.
You're 34 years old.
Yeah, Hyperspace Mountain.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's great. I did at one point, because Mikey doesn't love very fast upside down in the dark roller coasters. And I sort of slightly convinced him to come on Avengers Flight Force, trying to underplay it. It goes from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.8 seconds at the start.
Wow.
You just go off. And I did think halfway through that, as we were upside down, my marriage was coming to an end. Because I put my hand out on his knee just to check he was okay. And I could feel, well, it was like Ben and Kat on that bus. It was that sort of vibe. It was get away from me. And he came on, he just looked a little bit dazed.
I'd love to see him on a roller coaster.
He was great.
Yeah, bastard.
But it's marvellous.
Oh, God.
We had a lovely time. Because I went to... You never went to Disney as a child, did you?
No.
No, you see, I did. So it sort of unlocks all the childhood memories.
Pleasure Beach.
Yeah, different.
Yeah. But that's why I genuinely love Pleasure Beach now, because it unlocks childhood memories.
Well, there we go. Same thing. Same principle. And we did the lovely castle show.
Are you going to ask me how my week was? Bloody hell.
I'm still doing France.
Oh, okay. How was the castle?
It was beautiful. Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Did you wear your princess dress?
I did.
Did you?
But there is a video.
You didn't tell me. Please tell me you both didn't go in the castle on your own with no kids.
No, but I have made that mistake at previous Disneys.
I know.
And yeah, I got frog marched out of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique once. They did not want me in there. I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was a shop, but it's where you actually get sort of dressed up in a princess when you're six, not when you are late 20s, as I was at the time. Anyway, last thing on Disney, watching one of the parades, of course, Peter Pan and Wendy go past, and there is a video that we did of me shouting to Wendy whether I could borrow her potato peeler.
You did, then?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
There's also a video of me shouting, I love you, Mary, at Mary Poppins.
did you get a
selfie? Bert winked at Mikey.
Did he?
Yeah, I see you, Bert.
Oh, we got beef with Bert.
Yes.
Oh. Well,
Disney Paris Bert.
Oh, okay.
Not Dick Van Dyke.
Not just the French Bert.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
It's been good. Should we go on to my etymology? Yeah.
It's not enough hours in the day, William.
Oh, for God's sake, you've said that three times to us today already.
I do have a theory.
Yes.
That most cabin crew in the UK are...
Fill in the blank.
Are Gene Devers.
Okay. Yes?
Yeah. I can't believe it. I got on a flight to Ibiza and got three gin and tonics all the way to Ibiza.
Nice.
John. On the way there.
Okay.
Sorted me out with some gin and tonics. I was like, he's like, no, I saw you. And they kept bringing him. Big fan of the show.
Lovely.
On the way back, Colin as well, who also went to see your solo tour.
The one that got cancelled because of COVID?
He went to see it.
Wow. Colin, you're committed. Hello.
So he was... Was it Colin?
Are you coming to Solitary Refinement?
Yeah.
So the new one.
That is how my week's been. I've just been... And he gave me two free cans of Heineken.
Wow.
Which is my least favourite beer, but...
Well, don't throw your Heineken back in Colin's face.
Well, I didn't. I drank it because it was free, but it's my least favourite beer.
Wow. You'll down anything the cabin crew give you.
I certainly will, especially if it's free.
Should we go on to my etymology?
Let's do it.
Okay, after these messages, I'm going to tell you all about chips versus French fries. Why are they even called French fries? I'll tell you more after this.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
It's William.
William.
The etiquette geek. His knowledge.
Knowledge.
Is quite unique. He'll give you manners.
Manners.
A subtle tweak. It's time for William's etiquette-imanology of the week.
So, why are French fries? We've never had a cha-cha on the end of that.
Have we not?
No, I'd like one, Stephen, if you're listening. But, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, why are chips...
Don't have a go at Stephen if you're listening. He's probably busy with his wife or something.
No. I don't know. I have never asked that question to Stephen. I suspect not.
Sorry, Stephen.
Let's put it this way. He listens to Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury podcast, so I think it's very unlikely.
There's no chance. Sorry.
Anyway, his musical talent. All our jingles are him, basically. Anyway, French fries, chips, etc. Whether they are thick cut, thin, skin on or off, chips are, of course, popular the world over. Did you have any chips when you were in South America?
Plenty,
exactly. But with the increasing use of American English, of course, more and more people are calling chips fries or French fries. But why do the Americans even call them French? Well, potatoes, for some context, didn't arrive in Europe until the 16th century and originated in what is now Peru, where Ben has been. Some argue that Spain invented chips first, as they got the potato first and had patatas bravas.
Yep. And what the Spanish can't do with potato isn't worth knowing.
Well, there we go. Belgium is also a claimant to the throne of fried potatoes, but the French do have something to say on all of this because they have Pont Neuf potatoes, which are essentially chips that date back to at least 1789 and were a popular street food sold on the Pont Neuf Bridge in Paris. But why French fries? Here's the kicker. A popular myth is that the American soldiers during World War I discovered chips in Belgium, and because they heard them speaking French, they called them French fries. This isn't true, however, as the term French fries was used in America much earlier. Basically, Thomas Jefferson served potatoes in the French manner at the White House, and by the early 1850s, cookbooks referred to potatoes as fried in the French manner. So French frying was just the process. It's a technical culinary name, which is why they got the name French fries and now just fries. Of course, in Britain, we call them chips because they were chipped off a potato. And traditionally in Britain, anything French was considered a little bit suspect. So we didn't want to call them French fries.
That is actually, I say this every week when you do it. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
I do think, though, us Brits do the best chips.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, potentially. Do you like thick, thin?
Thick.
Skin on, skin off?
Thick. Like big, thick.
Where
chips.
Do you stand on sweet potato fries? Because I know Kat is very fascist about sweet potato fries.
Oh, I love a sweet potato fry.
She will not have them.
Sweet potato fries with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Chips with ketchup.
Sweet potato fries with mayonnaise. Oh, no, I can't do ketchup. No.
What?
Oh, I can't think of anything worse.
Do you have ketchup on
a burger? No.
Oh.
Horseradish, delish.
Oh, you love a bit of horseradish.
I do. Ketchup, no. Mm. Mustard, not that keen.
I love American mustard.
Okay.
Barbecue sauce, where are you with that?
Used to like it as a child. I could have it in moderation now.
For me now, as I get older, it's sour cream.
Right.
I just have it on everything, but it's not good for you.
No, I think it's slightly ultra-processed.
Is it?
Mm.
Can we just say as well, since I've started this early breakfast shows.
I can barely get his words out.
I can't stop eating.
Mm. You said to me earlier you were worried about the breakfast stone.
The breakfast stone, they call it. Mm. I am. Did you not see me rummaging around for sweets before? I was like a smackhead out back at Ali, weren't I? Honestly. Oh, have we not got any?
There's an empty tin of Quality Street.
You
in this.
Gaslighted me with that.
I didn't know it was empty. I went, oh, there's some Quality Street up there.
You were like being at your nana's. I opened a freaking sewing kit in it.
Did you have a sweet tin? So at Granny and Grandad's, I had a Winnie the Pooh sweet tin, and if I was good, and we went on what was called a lamppost walk, which was where we walked around sort of in a circular route, and you would knock on a lamppost, and if it was a bit loose and it made a hollow sound, I was allowed a sweet from the sweet tin. And of course, they knew that actually there were none of them that were hollow, so I very rarely got any sweets. But I still have this Winnie the Pooh, it was left to me, this little Winnie the Pooh sweet tin, all my little sweets.
Yeah, we used to have a biscuit tin, sweet tin.
Right.
Yeah.
No, mine was, small.
But it's round about this time. I stop craving sugar. Oh, it's a nightmare.
Right. Well, cling on. Okay, should we go on to the listeners' questions?
I can't get my words out. Yes, please.
Remember, if you need our help with something, you can get in touch. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sexedmyboss.com. You can DM us. We're @sexedmyboss on the socials.
I'm lost on the script, so. Or you can write to William, who, in the fullness of time, promises a handwritten reply on one of our luxury greeting cards of executive self-seal envelopes. The address that is on the website, sexedmyboss.com.
Lovely. We have no idea what is coming up, as ever. This first one is from Leela. Dear William, Jordan and the others, every now and then I'll go on a little trip by myself and inevitably I end up eating out at a restaurant alone. I have zero qualms with this and I find it quite liberating. However, when you are with a partner or a group, you chit-chat whilst eating. But when one finds themselves alone, the normal situation is to go on your phone and scroll through Instagram. I prefer reading a book on my Kindle, and in a Nando's or Pizza Express, I think this is perfectly fine. But if I find myself in a somewhat fancy French restaurant with a three-course meal, can I read a book, or is that weird? What is the etiquette for eating alone in posh restaurants, and is it okay to read in between courses? Leela, over to our Michelin star correspondent, Jordan North.
As an avid reader of books myself, I can't read in a restaurant. I find it too distracting.
Really?
Yeah, I have to be. It has to be really quiet for me to read. I go in my little study, light a candle, and read.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but I think it's fine. But when you're in a fancy restaurant, it is fine in like a Nando's or a Pizza Express, something like that. But if you're in a fancy restaurant, you want to experience the food, so you want to take in the food. Yeah, the food. And what I'd say is get a nice view, ask for a nice window seat, and you can stare out and people watch and then enjoy the food and have wine and just switch off.
Yeah, there is always that.
It's fine to read a book if you want to. A book is fine.
Yeah, from an etiquette point of view, reading a book is absolutely fine. Or if it's a breakfast, you could read a newspaper. It's fine. There isn't a stigma there. I think reading a book or even a magazine is preferable to sort of sitting at the Ritz and scrolling on your phone.
Yeah, I want that. Like, you can take a break into a Michelin star restaurant.
I wouldn't. I wasn't thinking take a break, actually.
My dad ate my hamster, you know, that kind of magazine. I was thinking, love, by the way,
Country Life or...
beg your pardon?
Country Life. Oh. Country Life. Yeah. You don't want to eat out on your own.
Next one.
This one's from Sophie. Hello, William and Jordan. I'm a Brit living in the US, and as both of you visited the States, I thought you'd be perfect to help me with my dilemma. Mm-hmm. As you know, Americans have a strange fascination with British people, particularly our accents. At first, I thought it was fun and quirky, but as the years have gone by, I have become very tired and honestly impatient with the same over-the-top production, terrible impressions, and string of questions I'm asked when people find out I'm British. I know it's all meant well, but after 12 years, it's become rather old. I've gotten so over having the same conversation about my Britishness that I have adopted a fake American accent to avoid being called out almost every day. Oh. I want to ditch the fake American accent and be my authentic British self, but how do I politely avoid answering the questions or enduring the productions and impressions? Kind regards, Sophie. Do you know, in all the times I have gone to America, not one person has said, oh my gosh, I love your accent. Do you know what I get in America? Are you Australian?
Oh, okay.
This, Australian? I think not.
Okay.
So no one's ever said that to me. They say it to my brother, who, you know, has a perfectly nice voice, but it's not, you know, his vowels are a bit flat.
If it was every day, it would get a bit annoying.
I get that, but my suggestion really to Sophie is move.
No.
Well, you're not...
It's a great country. It really is. I love it. But
you
just...
could say, I guess, oh, thank you so much, I get this a lot. And hope that shuts it up. But you see, commenting on people's accents, I don't think is not good modern manners.
Isn't that?
No.
How can she shut it down?
I would just say thank you so much.
Okay. And move on.
And then immediately ask them another question.
Thank you so much is just, oh, thank you so much. And then move on, ask another question. Mm.
Okay, Dan has been in touch and it starts controversially. Dear Diego, William Jordan, Chairman Emeritus Stewart, and in very small letters, EPB. My partner and I have a gorgeous 16-month-old Parsons Jack Russell called, oh God, Uhtred.
Now, is it a Jack Russell or a gerbil?
It's a Parsons Jack Russell.
That's an episode we did, Ben. Did you get that reference? Someone bought a Rottweiler and it was a gerbil. Rottweiler.
How would you pronounce, I mean, I'm asking you this, how would you pronounce U-H-T-R-E-D?
I'd go to a doctor. Uthred.
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 Oh, Uhtred. Like,
Putrid.
No, Uhtred, like off The Last Kingdom on Netflix.
Oh, right. Okay.
Uhtred.
Fine.
And Father Barocca.
I'm sure he's not called Father Barocca.
No, it's not Barocca, but it's what I call him.
Okay.
He's very fun in our house.
Yes. Odd
laughs.
Laugh a minute. He's a very handsome boy and, on the whole, very well behaved and loving. The problem occurs when we go out on an evening to meet up with our local dog walking group. All the dogs and owners get on very well. However, Uhtred has developed feelings for a lovely chocolate lab called Winnie. Both Winnie and Uhtred are inseparable when together. They play, chase, and on occasion have even been spotted kissing.
How do dogs
kiss? How do dogs kiss? Maybe just rubbing noses, I guess. Maybe. The problem is that even when Uhtred had the operation last summer, no matter what I do, he won't stop mounting Winnie. Winnie doesn't seem to mind, though. I don't want to upset Winnie's owners and have Uhtred develop a reputation.
Right, stop saying Uhtred like that, please.
Well, how do you say it?
It's really annoying.
I don't want to upset Winnie's owners and have develop a reputation as a sex pest among our dog-walking group, although I fear this may already be too late for... So what is the etiquette when won't stop humping his girlfriend in public? Sincerely yours, Dan.
Jack Russell's like this. I got humped by one in year nine.
And it changed the course of his life.
I did. My mate's house, it wouldn't stop shagging my leg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They like this. The horny little buggers, Jack
Russell.
Are
they?
Yeah. Can't you get him a little muzzle for his willy? That's what I'd look into. I bet there is some. Google dog muzzle.
That's
willy.
Not going to stop. In private browsing. That's not going to stop the mounting.
Yeah, it'll stop it from... Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. What's your advice?
Well, my advice to Dan is...
Jack Russell.
It's probably the same as it was to Sophie. Move. Find a different park.
Or you could speak to the owner of... What's the girl called?
Winnie.
You could speak to the owner of Winnie and say, look, poo.
That's I don't terrible. Think that works.
Look, can we... Go out walks at different times.
I don't think you can get... You can't
separate the walking. You're going to have to...
You could ask them what time they know, or you presumably know what time they walk, and you just change your walk time. But I would imagine... Look, I'm not a dog owner, but I'd imagine that Arthur would find a different Winnie.
Is Diego a humper?
He used to be.
Did you...
This one is a quick one.
Chop my bollocks off, Jude.
This is a quick one. It's from Jay. Dear William Jordan, EPB and all the Sexted crew, if someone is buying you lunch, should you always choose a cheap option from the menu, or should you get what you normally get, even if it's a bit more expensive? All the best, Jay.
That is from Jay. That is something that I've always thought, and I can't believe we've never been asked that before.
Yes.
That is a great question, because sometimes you go for lunch, or you'll go for your tea, and you'll know that it's their turn to get it, or they'll just say it's on me.
Yeah.
And do you get the most expensive thing?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal question. I would say you've got to listen to audio clues from your host. So if your host is sitting there reading the menu going, oh, well, the salad looks good, that's an indicator that, you know, pick something cheaper. If they're sitting there going, I'm going to have the lobster thermidor and I'll have two of them, for example, then you can perhaps pick whatever. If you hear nothing, you need to pick something middle of the price range.
Oh,
if, of
okay.
course, Jordan's taking you out, you can order whatever you like.
Okay, that's actually very good advice. I usually go for the middle. I'd never get the most expensive if someone else is paying.
No.
If it's your dad, though, it's the other way around.
Right, yeah. Well, context matters.
When we were in Spain, I was going to go for the fish course. I mean, we went, oh, we're getting this. And I went, oh, I'll have steak then. And my dad just peered down from his reading glasses. And in his eyes, he just said, you'll get the fucking fish. So I got the fish.
Right, yeah. I would say that if, let's say Jordan, you took me out for dinner. and you paid. Reciprocity is a key thing in etiquette. So I would then take you out for dinner to a similar level of restaurant. So if you take me to a 2-star Michelin restaurant, I take you to a 2-star Michelin restaurant.
It was 3 stars, actually.
Okay, well, yeah, but we're going to the middle.
Okay.
We're slumming it. We're going to a 2-star Michelin restaurant.
It was a birthday treat, for God's sake.
I don't take you to Nando's.
Okay.
I take you to a similar level. So you can pay the kindness back that way.
Okay.
However, you shouldn't take your friend to a very expensive restaurant if you know they can't reciprocate. So that would be also another piece of advice.
Okay.
This final dilemma comes from Sam in Bury. Dear William and Jordan, me and my friend and I, were having some drinks with her mum and got onto the topic of sex. It was all fine and dandy until her mum told us a story from when my friend was 2 years old. After putting her to bed, her mum and dad decided to partake in some hanky-panky. The good old-fashioned way wasn't cutting it anymore, so they grabbed the nearest insertable item, which happened to be a Mars bar. I would have gone for a chocolate finger.
Now, how long are we talking? Because it might have been a marathon back then.
Was it fun size? Mm. Anyway, that's right. They took a Mars a day, helps you work, rest and play to the next level. Unfortunately, it doesn't end there. After they had their fun, they left the Mars bar on the bed. Oh, no.
This can't be... This has got to be one of those, like, old school myths. You know those stories that have just been around for years?
After they had their fun, they left the Mars bar on the bedside table until the morning. Only it wasn't there in the morning. They had woken up to my poor friend stood in the room with a face full of chocolate and a Mars bar wrapper in her hand.
We did this as kids.
What?
Have I told you this?
I don't think you have.
No, I've told you this. So you know Vicky off of Can I Borrow Your Potato Peeler?
Famously.
Right, we went round to her house. I've told you this. Right?
We'll start it.
And we all went round and there was a mess do the night before. So like everyone from the battalion used to go to this mess do and they used to get in at like 4 a.m. and your mum and dad would be like in bed rough. So we went round to Vicky's house. She had 4 girls and 4 boys and we were all watching cartoons and we had chocolate spread on toast. Yeah. And my mum come in and she said, what are you having? I went, oh, Rebecca's made a chocolate spread on toast. And it was chocolate body paint from Anne Summers that we'd found in a cupboard.
I don't think you have told us that.
My mum tells the story better. So it's happened to us. And obviously that chocolate body paint, you know, been...
Right.
It's the same thing though, isn't it?
Where does chocolate spread start and chocolate body paint finish?
Are we
now going to get a scent chocolate body paint? Because we are looking for something for Act 2.
I'll get my mum to voice message because she tells that tells that story.
Wendy voice messages as a strand.
She tells that story. You know when someone tells a story and if I've got people around, I go, tell them about the chocolate body paint. She goes, right, so me and Graham, right, we've been at meth night before and we were hammered. So we're in bed and I said to kids, piss off and go around to Vicky's. She'll be up. So I go around, I get myself up about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I'm hungover.
We'll get the voice now.
Yeah, we'll get the voice now.
Okay.
So the 2-year-old baby had ate the Mars bar.
Yes.
Where had the Mars bar been?
Who knows? Well, I know, but I'm not going to say.
It's a tale.
It's disgusting. Well, thank you, Sam, for that. That's lovely.
It's been a good episode. It's been a bit of a longer episode than usual, but hey, that's, you know, the extended edition.
Yes, Producer Ben's back.
Producer Ben's back.
We are continuing our Producer Ben is back theme on Friday, we should just say. We've got something very special.
We've got a surprise for you, Ben.
Tune in on Friday to discover what that special is.
Bring lube.
If you've got any left.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.